Bill Handel here on a Thursday morning, March 4th. And a lot going on. California is starting to set aside 40% of all the vaccine doses for the most vulnerable neighborhoods. And therein lies a, I won't say logistical nightmare, but certainly logistical problems. And if you work, of course you know that, but if you work at food markets around a city within the city of Los Angeles, $5 an hour more per hour for the next 3 months. Today was supposed to be another attack on the Capitol. And why is March 4th so important? Because the anticipation was March 4th. Well, let's go back in history a bit. At the time of our founding fathers, whenever a new president was elected, the inauguration date was March 4th, not January 20th. Well, if you look from the day of the election till the new president coming into power, that's a long time. And if it's not the same president, you've got a lame duck period of time that's pretty extended. So the 20th Amendment was passed in 1933 when Franklin Roosevelt was elected, and that was moved to January 20th. And ever since then, it's been January 20th. So what's going on with the potential attack on the Capitol? Well, you've got the QAnon crazies who are out there or arguing they're out there in force, which they're not. Today was supposed to be and not so much the attack. I mean, they obviously do with the attack. But here, let me tell you how nuts QAnon is and QAnon followers. And unfortunately, it's by the millions. First of all, they obviously believe that President Biden is not President Biden because the election was stolen. They also believe that the Democratic lawmakers are a bunch of Satanist pedophiles, and the deep state is, in fact, running the country and is taking away all of our freedoms. And today was going to be the day that President Trump was going to march into Washington triumphantly, much like Caesar marched into Rome. When the throngs were cheering on the side of the road, and there he is in his chariot wearing that that crown of what plant was that? Hibiscus? Palm? No, it wasn't palm. That's Jesus. Anyway, he was wearing a crown of greenery. Maybe it was parsley. I don't know. In any case, that was supposed to be the triumphant return of President Trump. Now, he has not pushed it. He has not said it. He has not told the QAnon followers, you guys are nuts. That he's left alone. His entire position vis-a-vis the presidency is the election was stolen. He has not stopped with that position. So there was credible intelligence. The FBI gave this out and various other intelligence organizations saying, yeah, they're out there and they are going to attack. Now, who's going to attack? You can't get in within half a mile of the Capitol. I mean, there's perimeter fencing that goes out. There's razor wire on top of the fencing. And this isn't just the chain link fence that was brought down by the rioters on January 6th. I mean, this is heavy duty stuff. Also, you've got National Guard there. You've got armed security. I mean, this is not going to happen. And I'll tell you why it's not going to happen for another reason. And that is those that are arguing that the president is going to march triumphantly back to the Capitol and the White House and reassert his presidency because he actually won the election and the people of America will rise up and bring him back into power. You've got a large number of these QAnon followers that are saying, don't go. Why? Because it really is a plot by the government, and they're going to pretend it's us, and then they will attack us, and it will give, and there will then be another step towards controlling America. In other words, a plot within a plot, like a double agent. So the government is actually going to attack, impersonating the QAnon, the racists, the supremacists, and therefore giving them an excuse to go against, white America. It's that simple. And supporting the base and supporting the whole concept of what QAnon is about. I mean, QAnon is real simple. Their idea is that America is white. America is Christian. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about that, too, because there is, matter of fact, 820, I'm going to talk about that next segment. There's crazy stuff going on that side, too. But here is one of the real criticisms. Now, keep in mind, the president is not advocating any of this, or President Trump is not. He is staying away from this, for sure. However, Representative Michael McCaul of Texas, Republican on the House Homeland Security Committee, senior Republican, has pleaded with the president, President Trump, you have a responsibility. Tell these people to stand down. The threat is credible. It's real. It's a right-wing militia group. That's who it is. And the president, President Trump, has not made that statement. He has not said to those white supremacists, the QAnon followers, to stand down and say what you're doing is un-American. His position is real simple. I'm the president of the United States. I've won the election. Joe Biden is not the legitimate president. The election was stolen. And that's the concentration. And that's what he's concentrating on. Does it make any difference? No. I don't think there's going to be anybody marching on the Capitol. I don't even think there's going to be a peaceful demonstration with Confederate flags and all of the Proud Boys insignia. I think nothing's going to happen. Certainly hasn't happened yet. All right, back to QAnon and conspiracy theories. I'm going to share with you where it is, and this is scary. This is KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Jennifer. Bill Handel here on a Thursday, March the 4th. One of the big stories that we are carrying is the fact that intelligence, and we're talking about FBI intelligence, has said that there is a good chance that there's going to be a march on the Capitol, another attack actually, or attempted attack, by once again the same group of white nationalists, pro-Trump. Pro-Trump followers. If you look at what these people are, especially those that attack the Capitol, especially those that are QAnon followers, there's a couple of things they had in common. There were two names that were being bandied about during this entire the entire incident. One was, of course, Donald Trump. The other one was Jesus. Because a large number of those attackers and a large number of QAnon followers are arguing, and they firmly believe, number one, of course, that President Trump was a legitimate president. And for some reason, the people that are really out there believe that he's going to march triumphantly into the Capitol today to reclaim his presidency. And the other part of it that is pretty scary, and this is particularly scary when we're talking about Protestant congregations, because in the churches, especially the evangelical churches, as well as the straight Protestant churches, there is a movement, if not a movement, certainly a belief of the fact that going back to the Trump presidency. And of course, I'm telling you, the president has not argued this at all. He never has, and he is, so he can't be accused of this. These are these people that their attempt to go back to the administration of a few months ago is God's will. Truly believing that Jesus wants the former president to continue the presidency. And it is, incidentally, this is not just one person being weird. This is a lot of people out there. and it's going around the internet and always has, just for the first time they're looking at it. I mean, there is data out there. The American Enterprise Institute, which is a conservative think tank, more than a quarter of white evangelicals and QAnon conspiracy theorists connecting the two believe the theory, of course, that the politicians, the Democrats, run this global child sex trafficking ring. They believe, okay, that it's mostly or completely accurate. That's the same. That's the highest of any religious group. But you would think that among evangelicals. But the same survey found, well, that's not surprising, that three out of five, that Biden is not the president. And the Nashville-based Lifeway Research, Southern Baptist Organization, 49% of Protestant pastors say they often hear their congregants repeating the QAnon theories and saying that that is the legitimate way to believe, that it is, this is Christianity. QAnon is Christianity. And the belief is, another study that was done, and this was done by Andrew Whitehead, Indiana University, Purdue sociologist, studying the growth of Christian nationalism. He describes it as this, again, based on surveys, based on science, is that what we're seeing is the fusing of Christianity with the belief that we are a Christian nation, that God, the one God, has chosen specifically for success, a particular Christian path tied to the Republican Party and being white. And we're not talking about a small group of people. Pastors are spinning on this one. I mean, there are one or two out there, but that's, of course, just the outliers. Pastors are having a very tough time with this. Even the evangelical pastors are having a tough time dealing with this. And the more they argue against this, the more their congregants, the evangelical, particularly believers in QAnon, the more there is a separation where some congregants are just leaving because they can't believe their pastor is not following the QAnon theory. We'll see how many QAnon followers today attack the Capitol. I don't think there are going to be many. Matter of fact, I don't think there are going to be any. But no one's taking a chance at all. Congress is not in session. Nancy Pelosi canceled today, and the House that was set to pass the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act did it last night. Coming up, Handle on the News, late edition. This is KFI.
Live and local.
KFI AM 640.
An iHeart radio station.
Handle on the News.
Handle on the News.
Bill Handle.
And we are the morning crew. Handle here on a Thursday morning, March 4th. Time for Handle on the News late edition. Jennifer Jones Lee, Wayne, and me. Lead story. Well, how do you get to a vaccination center, and how you get the appointment? Well, you go to My Turn, which is the state-sponsored appointment system for your vaccine. The problem is, if you can game the system, you're gaming the system. There are a lot of flaws in the system. Wealthy, privileged people are using redistributed access codes to secure appointments that had been intended for people living in underserved communities. Wow. How about this one? Rich white people have figured this one out. Never would have thought that would happen, would you?
No. I heard an interview with a guy who runs a health clinic that serves lower income people, and he said, these rich white people they're walking into the clinic basically having just snaked an appointment that they at the clinic were trying to arrange for one of their regular patients that they would normally serve. So it's very brazen the way that the people who figured out how to play the game are exploiting that.
And is there time to wrap this one up? I don't know, because by the time they figure this out, I think everybody is going to be eligible anyway. And the problem is going to be going outreach to those communities that heretofore had a difficult time. I mean, I would have no problem. All I have to do is show, is dress the way I normally dress, and they'll think I'm a homeless person. Is that not true?
Well,
you're not that bad.
Fine. Let's move on.
Well, it looks like high school sports can resume in the LA Unified School District. So the Austin Buettner, the superintendent, said, yep, we can go back to sports. However, they're going to have all kinds of restrictions, obviously. So you've got to adhere to strict health and safety protocols. All of the participation in these sports will be voluntary. And he said, if you do decide to participate, you will be tested weekly for COVID-19 for all sports involved.
Yeah, I understand cross country. That's easy for social distancing. Water polo is a little bit difficult. And how do you tackle someone in football at 5 feet?
You can't, but because they're limiting it to sports that are played outdoors, they must see the balance. In other words, yes, there's close contact, but you're outdoors where there's ventilation, and somehow that's a fair trade-off. Hey, couldn't they have set up tents outdoors and had classes outdoors?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
You stop being rational, Wayne.
You would think so.
How dare you?
And we're talking about open tents, too, where there were no sides. You know, like you hire for a quinceanera.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a Spanish course, by the way, that's being taught that day.
Okay. Hey, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops are saying, if you have another option for the vaccine, don't take the Johnson & Johnson.
And why?
They're not saying don't get vaccinated. They're saying don't take Johnson & Johnson if you have another choice. Because the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was developed using a line of stem cells that originally came from aborted fetuses in the 70s and 80s. The cells being used now are clones. They're not the actual cells from those aborted fetuses of decades ago, but they are clones of them. And the church is saying, if there's an option, take the option. If there's no option, go ahead and take the Johnson & Johnson.
No, they're having the same problem with Pfizer because one of the lead scientists, his daughter, her best friend had an abortion. And therefore, you know, you can't do that.
I mean, the church has been pretty clear, though, that if it's a choice between a morally tainted vaccine and no vaccine, vaccine.
I mean, I'll buy that.
So it's it's sort of like, look, if you can avoid the dilemma, avoid it, but not at the expense of your health or safety. And it's hard. You know, it's hard to get too mad about
it. No, you can't, because it's within the religious context. And what they're saying is health is the most important issue. And if you can meet those same requirements, if you can do the same using something else, then, you know, we'll accept that. You're right. It's not too hard to get mad at it because it's, you know, based on religious belief. Yeah, I'll buy that. All right, let's take a break. And we'll come back and finish up. Handle on the News. Good morning, Bill Handel here. Thursday morning, March 4th, as we continue on, we finish Handle on the News late edition. Jennifer, Wayne, and me.
The U.S. unemployment rate has risen to 745,000 people. This is up 9,000 from last week. We're still not at the peak that we were, I guess, during the pandemic, but it's still showing that layoffs are still very high.
Yeah, we're getting two different versions of what the economy is about. You have the stock market, which is as high as it's ever been. You have corporations that are doing phenomenal. They're awash in cash. They don't even know what to do with their cash. And at the same time, you have these layoffs that are still going on. I don't even know what industries are laying off, because the entertainment industry, the hospitality industry, has basically laid off everybody.
So I would bet
who's left?
I would bet it's still in the hospitality industry, in the sense of restaurants or something like that, only because I bet anybody who was, you know, the cat on the back of the couch just hanging on for dear life, possibly finally had to let go.
It could be because the stimulus money kept them alive for a bit.
Certain amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, I know, this is anecdotal, but it's in line with what Jen's saying. There's a couple of different restaurants and restaurant groups locally that I've been trying to patronize. And they've been operating through the pandemic, and both of them, and they don't have anything to do with each other. One of them is a group that operates multiple restaurants, and one is just a standalone restaurant. And both of them just this week ceased operations until further notice.
Wow.
So okay. Yeah, I think she's right. You've had some businesses hanging on, and they couldn't hang on anymore. Okay. The Democrats in the Senate are still working on that COVID relief bill, and they're going to do something to make the $1,400 checks more palatable to the Republicans. And what they're going to do is they're going to lower the means testing threshold after which you don't get any money, because the original the House version said up to 75 grand, you get the full 1,400. And then it starts to scale down the more you earn. And when you hit 100,000, you wouldn't get anything. So in the Senate, they're saying, let's lower that you don't get anything amount to 80,000. Once you're making 80,000, you don't get anything.
Yeah, I don't see that difficult to compromise, where the compromise is not going to happen. And this is where the administration is absolutely firm. You're going to get the $300 to $400 a week additional stimulus money. That's it, bottom line.
Oh, the unemployment. Yeah, they're not budging on that.
Yeah, so I think there may be some compromise here, and I think they have no choice.
Well, this next story is out of Mississippi, but you've got about half of the states across the nation looking at similar bills. But Mississippi has passed a bill that bans transgender student athletes from female sports teams. And this one particularly walks this fine line, because if you have a male who is transgender, who is now a female, he still has the muscle makeup and the physiology of a boy. So if he plays in girls' sports, he's going to be, more apt to be
right.
More physical, stronger, faster.
I understand the logic of that. It really makes sense. So let's count up the number of transgender students that have actually done this.
None.
It's a big zero. We're not talking about, let's say somebody does that. Let's say you have a someone who comes aboard the team. The social pressure would be incredible for the other teammates. I don't know how someone could even survive. I mean, I'm talking about pressure-wise, where you have a male that comes aboard a female team. Every time going out on the field, there would be boos. I mean, practically speaking, it's not going to happen.
And what would you ask of that particular person that, hey, you are stronger and faster than your teammates, so we're going to ask you to pull back? I mean, you couldn't. But at the same time, I understand people who say this is completely discriminatory, because they're saying that if you're transgender and you're going to be accepted into the world just like everybody else, then that acceptance should transfer across lines, like participating in sports, that sort of thing.
Except there is a practical aspect to this, which doesn't exist in other aspects of the transgender community, like getting work, like being treated equally, like going to the restroom. I mean, this is joining girls' teams. And it's a very different animal here. It really is.
An LAPD officer has died just a few days after he was hit by a car. Jose Anzora, 10-year veteran of the department. He was doing traffic control. The car hit him. The crash actually happened Friday evening, and he has now passed away. Now, LAPD is saying the driver stayed at the scene. The driver is not suspected of any criminal anything, that this is an accident.
Do you want
to? So all you're going to have here is a lawsuit against the family, and that's it. Now, there may be a lawsuit against the police department for putting him in a place where he shouldn't have been, but then qualified immunity is going to kick in, isn't it, on that one? All right, we're done with Handle on the News Late Edition. The House last night passed the most extraordinary criminal justice system police oversight bill in decades. This is no small deal. It's the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. And I'll share some of the information with you when we come back. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.